Welcome to the TV Kids Festival. I'm Kristen Brzezinski, the executive editor of TV Kids, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Tracy Page Johnson and Jennifer Toomey, creators and executive producers of Gabby's Dollhouse.
Woohoo!
Hello!
Hello!
So great to speak with you. And going back to the beginning of things, what inspired the show?
Well, I think when we sat down to develop the show, we really drew inspiration from all the things that we loved as kids. So we loved dollhouses. We loved miniatures. We loved
cats.
We were very tuned into this unboxing phenomenon and how much preschoolers were into it. And we did a lot of research and seeing how popular these videos were of kids, you know, adults opening toys and displaying them. And we really thought there was something there, but we wanted to take it to the next level. So we thought, instead of unboxing a toy or a product, what if we unbox a story? So we put it sort of all into the mix, and we came up with the idea for Gabby's Dollhouse. And actually, originally, we didn't have the cats. The animals were all different kinds of animals in the different rooms. And when we hit upon the idea of the cats, because Tracy loves cats, I love them too, but not as much as Tracy. And we knew, you know, everyone loves all the adorable, cute cat videos. When we hit upon cats, it sort of became that glue across all the great ideas that we had on the table, and everything, you know, all the characters became different kinds of cats. Each of the Gabby cats is part cat and part something else. So Cakey in the kitchen is part cat, part cupcake. Mercat is part cat, part mermaid. And it really just inspired the look.
Right.
Took it to the next level.
Right. The dollhouse has its cat ears. And then for Gabby's magic, she wears her special cat ears that she pinches to get into the dollhouse. So the cats kind of brought everything together.
And how much do you draw from real life for the stories?
Well, fun fact, Pandy is based on Jen's youngest son, Matthias, and Gabby is based on her daughter, Gabby.
So there's a lot of real life inspiration there. You know, and as I said, the creation of the show, we really drew from our own experience and things that we loved as kids. And I think just, you know, even the idea for episodes can come from anywhere, but often will be inspired by a super cool craft that we see on Instagram or
our love of googly eyes or thing. You know, we've raised six kids between us, so we have a lot of craft and stories and silly moments that we love to bring into the show. So we definitely have that kid at heart that we bring for sure.
How was this mixed media style of animation and live action decided is the route to go? And I'm curious, does this offer different opportunities than a fully animated series does?
Yeah, you know, one thing in today's kids' landscape, there's so much out there, is you really need to find something that feels different. And also that we know that kids through Blue's Clues and then through the whole YouTube of watching YouTube videos, kids really respond to that live action person or kid looking into the camera and asking you questions. So we knew we wanted to bring that in. And when we did the unboxing and unboxing the catalyst to the story, we knew that the animated part would be more fun, you know, if she shrunk into the dollhouse and became animated in those worlds and all that wish fulfillment. So it was really it started as wanting to feel unique and different. And then as we were playing in the mixed media, you know, some of the fantasy happened where it not only bookends the show now, it does happen within the show where as their little animated characters, they might go out into Gabby's bedroom and see her live action cat Floyd. And it's just so magical. It's just like, oh, it really makes it stand out as something, nothing else like there on TV.
And I think it adds to the magic of the show. The show is all about wish fulfillment. So there's just something so magical about seeing live action Gabby with these little miniatures playing at the top of the show. And then when you pinch and you go into that world, it really solidifies that magic to kids, because they're like, I just saw that real dollhouse with little characters, and now I'm inside of it. So I think, you know, being able to do the mixed media just opens so many areas of creativity for us.
Yes.
Also, once we're in animation, you know, the show is a 3D show, but we also do a lot of 2D animation, which is both good for budget and creativity. So for instance, with Pillow Cat, we sit down in her bed to read a story. We go up into her story cloud, and that's always a 2D world. So we're able to create whole new worlds and environments in the 2D that we wouldn't be able to afford to create a new set or a world in 3D. So we'll pick and choose, you know, our worlds for 3D, but the ability to go into these 2D worlds really opens up so much more in creative avenues for us, and places to go and new places to explore.
And then a wonderful byproduct of that mixing of the media is that it feels so different, again, than anything else you've ever seen. So it feels very fresh and new.
One of our favorite visuals of the show that we feel is a hallmark of how the show looks so different is when the animated characters come out into Gabby's bedroom and they interact with Floyd, the real cat, or, you know, objects within Gabby's bedroom. Again, it's that heightened fantasy, that wish fulfillment.
And I'm curious what the production timeline is on a mixed media show like this. Does having the live action elements add to the timeline significantly or complicate anything?
It's definitely complicates things. It's a lot more forethought and planning that needs to go into it. You know, the show follows a typical animation schedule, takes a little over a year to animate an episode. And we shoot once a year. We shoot 20 episodes in a block, takes us about 2 weeks. But the prep for that shoot is enormous because when you're combining live action and animation, you know, it all has to be meticulously boarded. We have to know exactly what props are going to be used by the animated characters and what props are not. So we know, you know, is animation making that, or is our live action miniature people making that? So there's a lot of thinking and planning that goes into it. But as far as the actual time, I think it's,
you know, we fit it in, because it is only like 3 minutes of live action, maybe 4 or 5 on certain episodes if we end up going into the live action during, but the bookends are only 3 minutes. So it's not that much time that's added to it.
Talk to me about this growth mindset curriculum that's evidenced by Gabby in the show and the importance for modeling it for young viewers.
Yeah, when we were developing, we came across Carol Dweck's book, Growth Mindset, and we were very much inspired by that because we're all about celebrating our mistakes, being perfectly imperfect, and kind of letting kids know that, whoopsie, you made a mistake and it's okay.
It's okay.
that there's power in asking for help, and you don't need to do everything perfectly the first time, and let's give it a go, or let's roll with it. So we love to bake that organically into the DNA of the show, that Gabby just has that naturally and is role modeling that for our audience. So we always have, I don't know how to do that yet moment.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the growth mindset really is about teaching resilience and grit. And we felt like, although we developed the show pre-pandemic, it couldn't have come at a better time because with everything that kids are going through, that sense of resilience and not being able to make a mistake, not being afraid to make a mistake, you know, that's how you learn. You don't learn unless you make mistakes. So Gabby really embodies that. And it's something that we felt was really one of the most important things you can teach a child, is that resilience and self-confidence to be able to make a mistake and be okay with it.
Yep.
Whoopsie. Moving on.
No, I couldn't agree more. And the show does it so beautifully.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me about the casting with Layla Lockhart Craner as Gabby.
What was amazing.
Oh, it was amazing. DreamWorks casting was fantastic. We looked at everywhere, all over the country, over 1,000 girls. And we were really looking for a girl who could connect to camera and have that genuineness that when she looked and asked a question, you were like, she's talking to me. I'm on a play date with her. And Layla just embodied that instantly. I mean, her expressive eyebrows and just her personality and genuineness. It was just like, we knew immediately.
As soon as we saw her audition, and then she did some voices that they taped while she was doing the voices. And when she read the script, she did all the characters' voices, and just seeing her, like, she brought everybody to life. And she was just so natural and genuine.
Yeah. And her, we love her expressive eyebrows. You can see in the live action, and then we follow that into animation. So if you look closely at her animated Gabby, we make use of her eyebrow action. She's great. And the hair, we just love that hair.
There's also a wide cast of cat characters alongside Gabby, and each gets their own special moment in time to shine. What was the intention behind that cat of the day?
You know, Gabby's Dollhouse, we like to say it's the preschool show with the surprise inside. And so at the top of the show, we always have our unboxing moment, which is a surprise. What's going to be in the box? And we really wanted to have a surprise moment at the end. So we came up with the idea for the cat of the day. And it's a, you know, you don't know which cat it's going to be, and everyone's rooting for their favorite. So that's a surprise. And we also felt like it was a great opportunity to deepen the relationship with each of the characters for the home viewer at home to get to spend some one-on-one time with Baby Box doing a craft, or with Keiki making something, or with DJ making music. You know, really, I think because we have such a wide cast of cats and we have so many, it really was a way for kids to get to know each of the cats even better. Another thing that we did in the Cat of the Day in season one is that we created an original song for each of the characters. And these songs, our composer, P.T. Walkley, is absolutely amazing. We've both worked with him on other shows as well. And he really gave each cat a very unique, cool style. Baby Box is all like more like kids' instruments and kazoos. DJ is a little funkier. Mercat's very sassy. So he created these character songs that helped to bring the characters to life and helped us to find their personalities.
And now that music that he created for each of those characters, like John Williams did for the characters in Star Wars, now when our characters appear in the show, their kind of music line comes on and you get to know them. And it's like, ah, it's Baby Box's theme, or Cat Rat's theme, or Mercat's theme, which is really great. It really, we love that happened organically, of really getting to know the cats through their songs.
Why was incorporating elements of DIY and play that extend beyond the episodes important to you?
Well, we love, as parents, we love, you know, kids doing things off the screen as well. So we love that we inspire kids to use their creativity once the show is over. And also that just seems sort of the essence of the ecosystem of the internet now, of doing recipes together, doing crafts together. And we love that the play that the cats can bring to that. And especially during the pandemic, you know, the co-making and the co-viewing that parents and kids were doing together was just so inspiring. And we love seeing on Instagram kids posting their versions of the crafts or the recipes. It's really created such a wonderful community that we love. And it's just putting all that creative energy out there.
And DreamWorks has its own treasure trove of IP to mine from, but Gabby's Dollhouse was a brand new original idea. Curious, what do you think they saw in that concept to champion the project? And how is that support of being part of the DreamWorks family?
I think DreamWorks saw in the property what we saw in Gabby's Dollhouse is that breakthroughness, that it felt like something that no one has ever seen before, the mixed media, the unboxing. And also sort of the whole ecosystem of this entire world that we created, of that there are different personalities of cats in different rooms, and each of these rooms were based on areas of a preschool of all the different ways to play, of cooking and storytelling and music and gardening, and they could just see the legs that this property has.
Tell me about the partnership between the two of you. How did you initially
find? We have been friends for almost 30 years.
We have been through the war together, raising kids. We met on Blue's Clues in the early, early days. And I've just always loved Jen and her creativity and her humor and her sense of fun and her writing abilities and design abilities. And it was just like, we just click well together. We play well together. And I think our ideas are, you know, like friends playing tennis, like the ideas we volley back and forth, and it brings it to this new synthesis that neither of us could get to individually, but the chemistry of us together just,
woo! And I think, you know, there's something about having worked together for so long on other shows that we've created, and then also having such a deep friendship. Tracy is my rock. I think that we have a shorthand. You know, I might have an idea that I'm trying to explain, you know, in a meeting. I'm like, Tracy, you know, and I can't draw, but she'll draw it. I'm like, yes, exactly. So it's like we speak each other's language, and I think we're very in tune creatively, but we each bring something different to the table. And I'm always inspired by Tracy. And, you know, while I'm more on the writing and she's more on the design, you know, I go to Tracy all the time. We sit down and ideate for new episodes. And, you know, so many of the ideas come from Tracy. And then in design, Tracy, that's her area of expertise. But I also weigh in on that. And we just know each other so well that now, even if, you know, I'm in a design meeting and Tracy can't be there, I'm like, all right, I've got my Tracy hat on. I know she's going to want to go closer. She's going to want that texture bigger, chunkier, yummier. Yeah, and we just know each other so well.
Yeah, and vice versa in writing.
And love each other. And she's a huge inspiration for me. And it's just so much fun. It's a dream job to be able to work on such a great show and to do it with one of your best friends. It's
pretty
dreamy.
It is dreamy. And I think, especially now, since we've made so much children's television and raised kids together, it's just all about having fun now. Yeah. Like, we just bring the fun. We just want it to be fun.
That comes across on screen, though, the magic of this collaboration.
I think you're right. That heart. I think you can really feel the heart of the show. Absolutely.
When working with other writers on the show, what are some of those key attributes that you and the team try to keep top of mind throughout all the discussions or stories?
I think it's that original quirkiness of what Gabby's is, of that imaginative creativity of everyday items, but seen in a whole new way, like our paper cup popper episode. That, you know, who would think that an episode about paper cups would be so fascinating? And we just turned it and blew it up into this cool, creative way of all the different things you could do with a paper cup.
Yep. So we unbox the paper cup and then we take it from room to room, and each of the cats has a different idea of what to make with it or what to do with it. And really, it's one of our favorite episodes because it does embody that quirky
cleverness.
And, you know, when you're writing for preschoolers, you need to base it, the adventure and the story, in something that resonates with them and something that they know. So with so many preschool shows out there, you know, everybody's covered everything, you know, that's in the preschool tropes. But for Gabby's, we really strive to say, all right, if we're doing a birthday party, how do we make it Gabby's dollhouse birthday party? You know, and because we've put so much thought into the development of the show, now it's kind of very easy and natural for us to say, like, okay, how do we turn this on our head and do it the Gabby's way? Mm-hmm. But I think that's really important for the show and for us, is to keep that quirkiness, that humor, that
that signature Gabbiness.
And there's sort of a sense of casual play. Like, we want the home viewer to feel like you're just on a play date. So we, the fact that we get to do a full, you know, 23-minute episode allows us to take the time where we can just play and be silly, you know, with Baby Box and do a whoopsie moment where we're pouring glitter, but we, oh, whoops, I spilled it, and do a funny little moment. You know, we really, those features are just important to us in the show as the main thrust of the story. So it feels like you're on a play date with Gabby and the Gabby Cats.
Yeah.
Well, the show is fantastic. The partnership between the two of you is fantastic. And we really appreciate you taking the time to take us behind the scenes. Thank you both.
Absolutely.
Anytime. Anytime.
This was fun.
And now let's have a look at Gabby's dollhouse.
Attention, cats and kittens. This is your captain speaking. We are now ready to board.
Whoa! Guess what?
Come on, everybody! We're going on a plane, a train, and even a hot air balloon!
Yay!
It's so magical!
Woo!
Oh, yeah!
My name is Bissy Fairy.
Is that Fluffy Flufferton?
A dinosaur?
Roar!
I love dinosaurs!
Whoa!
We're upside down!
Ah!
Whoopsie!
Sounds like a perfect adventure to me.
Come on!